Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter number 1. Luke chapter 1. Once you arrive there, find verse number 26. Luke chapter 1. Young people, don't talk now. Listen. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Find verse number 26. Once you find Luke 1, verse 26, stand with me if you would real quickly. We're going to read this scripture together. Luke chapter 1, starting with verse number 26. I'm going to read it out loud and you can follow along. The Bible says this: "And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, that thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus." If you look back at me, twice in this passage of Scripture, we see a human being, a lady, named Mary, and God said, or the angel said, "You are favored by God." Wow, favored. I call the sermon, "How to Be Highly Favored by God." How to be highly favored by God. Let's pray. Father, help me now as I preach. I want my mind to stick to the topic and stick to your will in regard to what's preached. I pray that the interruptions will not be inappropriate. I pray that we will give our minds to the preaching of the Word of God. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, you do something big in somebody's life today. I really believe there are people here, they're trying to figure out how to succeed in their life. What they need is your favor. There are some that used to have that favor for multiple reasons. They don't have it anymore. I pray they'd want to get it back. Lord, I pray that you would favor this service and this preacher, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to go back to the story about Mary in just a moment, but I got to thinking about what I personally highly favor. I favor Miracle Whip over mayonnaise. Yesterday, Michael made us some deviled eggs at the picnic, and I liked them. I really love them. I like deviled eggs. We ought to call them angel eggs down here at the church. But I'm a Miracle Whip fan, and if you're not, everybody has a right to be wrong if they want to be. I like cheeseburgers. Boy, I'll tell you what, if you offered me a big old thick steak on one side and you offered me a cheeseburger over here on the other side, I would take them both. I promise you, you could ask my wife. I wouldn't mind that cheeseburger because I like cheeseburgers. I like Oreo double stuffs. I like Oreos. I favor them, but I highly favor double stuffs. I like Dunkin' Donuts coffee. I highly favor it. Now you say, what do you mean by favored? Well, it's preferred, or it's the selected one, or it's something that's singled out, or maybe it's best liked or chosen. This is part of the definition of favored. It's sweet on it. I'll never forget, I was a 16-year-old boy. I went to a little country church, and our church address was a rural route. And I was going to a public school at that time, and I had mustered the courage to invite one of the cheerleaders at our school to come to our church. And she said, "Oh, maybe I will." Oh, I'll never forget it. I think it was a Sunday night. The woman who is now my wife, she came into the church parking lot. I was embarrassed. She was coming to church, and I almost hid behind a door when she started walking into the church. And a couple of the men that were at the back door, they said, "I'm going to take it." They said, "We're going to take it. You know her." I said, "Yeah, but I didn't think she was going to come to church." And I'd look out the window, and she was walking toward the church, and I'd hide again, thinking, "How can I escape?" And I'll never forget Don Gleason, one of the deacons that worked the back door. He said, "I think you're sweet on her." I said, "Don't say that.
Don't say that. Don't talk to her. No, you can talk to her, but don't tell her that. And I would tell you, I've been married to my wife nearly 40 years, and I am sweet on her. I'm sweet on her. Wouldn't it be something if maybe we seen that in regard to our relationship with the Lord? Wouldn't you want God to be extra sweet on you? Hey, you have total reason to be sweet on Him. Total reason. Nothing in the world should ever stop you from being sweet on the Lord. But wait a minute, how about Him being sweet on you? Or highly favored. In the story that I read to you this morning, we see here the story of Mary being chosen to give birth to the Christ child. That story is not just for Christmas. It's for any time, it's for all the time, and it's for every time. What a tremendous story. Out of all the thousands and thousands of women on earth, it was Mary that was chosen to bring the Christ child into this world. What an honor. What a privilege. And in Luke 1:28 it said, "And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored." Notice, she was favored, but not just favored, she was highly favored. And then God, just a few verses later in verse number 30, He says it again. He says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." Boy, wouldn't it be nice if you could find favor with God. How do you become favored of God? To be favored of God seems quite enticing. There are others who have been favored, the Scripture says. Of course, Jesus. Listen to Luke 2:52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." A young man by the name of Samuel was favored by God. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 26, "And the child Samuel grew and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." Oh, David, the giant slayer, he was favored. Acts chapter 7, verse 45 and 46 says, "Which also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles, whom God drave out before the face of our fathers unto the days of David, who found favor before God." Wow! How incredible to be favored of God. This could be the answer to your problems. This could be your big break in life. You say, "I've been waiting for a break." You might need to get the favor of God. You say, "I wish my ship would come in." The greatest ship that could ever come into your port would be the ship of getting the favor of God on your life. You say, "I just wish things, the chips would fall my way." You want the chips to fall your way. You get the favor of God on your life, and that'll change things. Hey, you say, "My life, it's broken." I'll tell you what you need to do. You want to fix a broken life? Get the favor of God upon that broken life. Receiving help. You say, I wish there was help available to me. God's help is available. And one of the things that would help you is to get the favor of God in your life. Now, God loves everybody. But it is obvious there are some times when people do certain things, people get a little more attention from God. That's not unreasonable, by the way. It's God's call anyway. God can do whatever God wants to do, and it's very obvious in the Scripture that God loves everybody, but God tends to be sweet on certain behaviors. I wonder what that is. I'll tell you this, I think if you and I will do what we're supposed to do, there the Bible teaches how we can have the favor of God. That means God's a little extra sweet on us. First of all, let me tell you this. If you're alive, God has expressed His desire to have favor upon you. I mean, if you're just alive. Listen to this verse. Job chapter 10, verse number 12, it says, "Thou hast granted me life and favor." Job here is stating that he is still alive, and this is an act of God's favor. I don't know if you realize, but Job and his family went through horrific tragedy, but Job came out of it alive. And in that passage of Scripture, Job stops and he says, "God, You have shown Your favor upon me. I am still alive." And I should probably bring this to your attention. Every person that is in this building You are alive today, and God has favored you. Because you could be dead. You say, but preacher, I've not had any close calls lately. You have no idea what God has provided for you by keeping you alive. Some of us are sublime. We didn't even see what was coming at us. But God did. Oh, yes, indeed. There are people in here, you would say, boy, I can tell you what, Pastor, I can remember this experience or that experience where God saved my life. And I was favored by God by that salvaging. I don't know, was it a heart attack? Was it maybe it was cancer and that's what had been diagnosed? Or maybe it was a car accident. I don't know what it was. But even if it were not an accident or an issue that you were familiar with, God has kept you alive, and you're here today sucking air because God has favored you and he's allowed you to be alive. You could be dead right now. And Job is stating that he is still alive, and this is an act of God's favor. And if you're still alive, God still wants to use you, and he has favored you by giving you life. If you're still alive, God has a plan for your life. Hey, listen, you know, get this. If you're still alive, it means that God has something he wants to use you to do, and he is keeping you alive to do it. That's God showing his favor. If you're still alive, God has shown you a wonderful thing. If you're still alive, it's God's favor that's provided that opportunity. And that means favor is available and opportunity is available. Life is one of the foundational needs. If you want God's favor, you have to be alive to get it. But then secondly, if you're saved, God has expressed his desire to favor you. Now see, there are some people in here, they're alive, but they're not saved, and they're not on their way to heaven. Well, I'm glad you're alive, but I happen to believe God probably has kept you alive and favored you so you could get saved, so you could get another taste of God's favor. Do you understand that if you're not saved and you died according to the Bible, not according to Jeff Owens, if you're not saved and you die, you'll go to hell. Boy, did you miss the favor there. But God has made salvation available to all of us. Listen to Psalm chapter 5, verse number 12. It says, for thou, O Lord, will bless the righteous with favor. Now, there is a righteousness that is made available to you and I when we get saved. And God is saying, saved people have the favor of God upon them. Wow. If you're saved, that's definitely a sign of the favor of God. You say, how, well, let me explain. You're not in hell. And let me tell you, since you're not in hell, God has favored you. I don't know how we could calculate it, but you do realize there are multitudes, millions and millions and millions of people that are not saved. Which means they don't get saved, they're going to go to hell. And so we that are born again have seen God's desire to favor us by the fact that, number one, we're alive, and number two, we're saved. God has favored us because salvation gives us heaven as our home. God has favored us because we don't have to go to hell. God has favored us because then he says you can have a victorious life. If you're alive and saved, you qualify for even greater favor from God. It is available to you. But there are a few things that will help you to merit that favor. And they're not difficult. Getting that extra favor, God loves you, but he's a little extra sweet on certain behaviors or people that behave a certain way. Prove that by looking over and over again. God said, I favor this one, I favor that one, I favor that one. How would you like to have your list put on that favorite list? How would you like to be on God's miracle whip list? Let me tell you what God said about this. Being a good person brings God's favor. Proverbs 12:2 says, a good man obtaineth favor. Folks, let's not lose what Christianity is all about. We're to be good people. And that may not be real flamboyant wording, but bottom line is, Christian people are to be good people. We're just to be good folks. Are you being good? Hey, are you good to people? Are you good to your church? Are you good to your neighbor? Are you good to God's men? Are you good to your acquaintances? Are you good to the cashier at Walmart? Are you good to the gas station attendant? I was at a store just recently, and when I went in, I greeted the people that were there, and I laughed a little bit, and just went in and tried to be pleasant and lighten their day a little bit, and I walked out, and later on, I met one of the people that was working at the register, and they said, do you know, one of the other tellers said, you are their favorite customer out of all the people that come in here. Now, I hadn't given them any money. I didn't have any to give them. But you know what I did? I tried to be good to them. You know, some of you are nothing but old grumps. You're grouchy, you're mean, you're hateful. I realize that when you go somewhere, they're there to serve you, but that does not qualify you to be a jerk. Because Christians are to be good people. And if you want the favor of God, it's not real difficult. God just said, be decent. Just be a good person. This old world is starved for that pure goodness that Christianity, that we are to offer the world. Are you good to your family members? Are you good to your enemy? Hey, listen, why should God show you His favor when you won't show others favor? So I want God to favor me, but you're nasty to everybody. You reap what you sow. You don't want to be good to people? God feels no obligation then to be sweet on you. So, there are some things that would merit God's favor. Hey, secondly, not only this goodness, but finding and living God's wisdom brings God's favor. The wisdom of God now has something to do with your decisions and your thinking. Let me read to you from Proverbs chapter 8, verse 32, and a couple of verses thereafter. It says, now therefore, hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways, hear instruction, and be wise, there's a key word, wisdom, and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whosoever findeth me, wisdom, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. That's what I was looking for. I'd like to get that favor of God. I'd like God to be sweet on me. What do I need to do? I need to be good. What do I need to do? I need to use and utilize the wisdom of God properly. Right here, it's telling us the right behavior of the Christian toward wisdom bring God's favor. He said, he uses these words when talking about wisdom. He said, you hear instruction. What that means is when you're in church, you listen. You're listening to what's going on in church. It says then you refuse it not. What's that mean? You hear the teaching of the Bible. You hear the preaching of the Bible. And you're not just listening to it, but you actually want to live it. You actually want to utilize it in your life. Then it says watching daily. You know what that means? You come to church and you're taught how to live and how to behave. And you not only hear it, but you decide to integrate it into your life. But you don't just do it on Sunday. I'll tell you what, this world is so sick and tired of people that act religious on Sunday and then they act like the devil on Monday and Tuesday and they come down to the church and they say, praise God, and then they cuss like a sailor on Tuesday at work with everybody. God said, if you want my favor, you need to seek my teaching, live my teaching, and do it full time and stop playing. What is this wisdom? It's doing right the right way. It's seeking and seeing life God's way, living according to God's way of life. But what is this? If you want God to be extra sweet on you, be good. If you want God to be extra sweet on you, you seek the wisdom of God, you then live it, and you just make sure you live it daily, not just when you're trying to impress some religious people down at the church house. Oh, then, what else could bring me this favor? It interests me. Prayer. I like this. I found prayer brings favor. Job 33, verse 26, it says, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. You say, well, I guess if you pray, you ask for things and God gives it to you. Sure. I think when you pray, you can ask God for things and he can give it to you. And there's an element of success in that. But God here is maybe even a little more interested in not just in what you ask and what he gives. God's interested in being with you. I don't have time to say it, but the primary purpose of prayer is not what you can get out of God. It's that God wants to be with you, and he wants you to be with him. And part of the problem is, he almost can't get us to come and spend time with him unless we need something. I need something. I want something. I'll go to God. I'll get spiritual. I'll pray. I'll get right with God. Oh, God. God knew we'd be babies about things so that he'd have to be offering us stuff and there's an exchange. But you know what he really wanted? He wanted to be with you. The real intent of prayer was that we be with him and he be with us. And I would just tell you, prayer brings the favor of God. Why should God show you favor when you don't want to be with him? It's pretty tough. You know, if my child wanted my favor, but they said, Dad, I want your favor, but I don't want to be with you. I'm only going to come see you when I want a few bucks. Well, I don't consider that a good exchange. Hey, we're not talking about when we just need something from God. We're talking about we need God. You want him. You say, I like this idea. I want the favor of God. Then you're going to have to just be a good person. God requires it. Then you're going to have to learn the Bible, live the Bible, and then you need to do it all the time and stop playing around with it. Get in. Get into your Christian life daily. Then you pray, but it's not just getting something from God. It's you want to be with God. Not only that, I kept searching. What I got like a dog on a trail. I started looking. Then, well, how do you get this favor thing? I want this favor thing. I'm getting it. I seen in Psalm 119:58. It says, "I entreat thy favor with my whole heart." And I thought, okay, whole heart. Okay, I get it. You know what God wants? If I'm going to get God's favor, God wants me to seek him with my whole heart. Now I go back to people that play religion. Here, it's wholehearted. Again, in our world, we need some Christians that are the real deal. Not religious people. The real deal. We need Christians that are seeking God with their whole heart. That means you put something into it. Everybody here has something that means something to them and they really put their energy into it. I like sports. To me, one of the primary reasons to teach sports to a young person is so they can learn to have some drive and determination. And then they use that, we hope, in life to do more than chase a ball. And so, boy, you show me a boy that loves soccer, he'll throw himself into it. He'll run until his side hurts. You know what we need? We need some Christians that will run spiritually until their sides hurt. Why? Because they love God that way. It's a big deal to them. God said, I'm sweet on those, the ones that are sweet on me, and that they will just put their whole heart into it. But not only that, you can gain God's favor by practicing mercy. This is probably good for us to learn. Practicing mercy. Again, listen to the scripture. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 3 and 4 says, Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding. Here he said, if you'll practice mercy, you can find favor. And what did I start out telling you? Let's see if we can figure out how to get this highly favored thing. Mary had it. David had it. Samuel had it. Jesus had it. Now look, if I can be good, that helps me. If I can live by the wisdom of God, that helps me. If I'll pray not just to get things from God, but want to really be with him. And if I can put my whole heart into my Christianity. But now it says mercy. Say, what is mercy? I think mercy is it's a strength and a love while you're helping someone else maybe with their weaknesses. Now mercy is where you don't practice revenge. And mercy is where you don't fight people that want to fight you. Mercy is doing what is best for the other person. Mercy, to some degree, is one of the shock absorbers that need to be in all relationships. And when your mercy shock absorber is broken, you're going to make the situation worse, not better, because of the way that you behave. Mercy is not the absence of discipline, but it is the presence of kindness and love during the discipline. I think if a parent says, I'm going to be merciful with my child, and they don't obey, and they don't obey, and don't obey, but I'm going to be merciful and let them get away with it, that's not real love. Mercy is when my child disobeys, they still get disciplined, but I love them, and I'm not hateful with them. I'm not unkind to them, but they're still going to get disciplined. Why? Because right is right and wrong is wrong. Your God is a merciful God, but He won't let you get away with murder all in the name of lovey-dovey. You better be careful. God will spank you, but He'll love you while He spanks you. Mercy is not the absence of discipline. Mercy is the presence of discipline with the same equal presence of love and kindness. That's what mercy is. And God said, if you can learn to help people, maybe they need corrected, and maybe they've done wrong. If you can learn how to love people and yet get them corrected, I'm going to show some favor on you. Why? Who can find that? The average person, when they go to correct someone, they're hateful, they're nasty, they're mean. Even when we discipline our children, let me explain. You are to discipline your children, but it's to be done in a loving way, and they're to know that you love them. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. What's God worried about? He's worried about you correcting them and turning it into an out-and-out war and a carnal cat fight between parents and children. And God said, mercy is discipline that child, but do it in a love-kind way. Don't let them get away with murder. Teach them character. Teach them integrity. Teach them to do right. Teach them to tell the truth. But do it in a way they don't hate you all the time it's happening. That's what mercy is. And God said, you show me somebody that's strong and not afraid to take a stand. But wait, they love you. And they're for you. And they know it. And God said, man, I'll be sweet on that person. You say, why? That's who God is. That's what God is. God is strength. And yet, He is love and tenderness and kindness wrapped together like peanut butter and jelly. All in one uniform package. He said, I'll be sweet on you if you get that. You get that mercy like it's supposed to be. I'll be sweet on you. I'll give you favor. Hey, I looked on. I said, well, how else can we get this favor from God? How can we be highly favored? And I noticed this. The Bible says in Proverbs 3, verse 3 and 4, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding. We can receive God's favor if we'll stand for His truth. Stand for His truth at home. Stand for His truth at church. Stand for His truth at school, at work, with family. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell you the person that you have to stand up to most. If you really want to succeed, the person that you must stand up to most, the person that gets you in the most trouble, the person that causes you the most grief, the one who's responsible every time for your disobedience. It's your wife. No. It's you. You need to stand for truth with you. See, we want to stand for truth and throw it at everybody else, but let me tell you something. You better stand for truth with you. You better face the truth about you. You better realize you are your biggest detriment when it comes to being a good Christian, because nobody can stop you from serving God but you. You. I want this favor. Hey, I see that according to the Scripture, if I'll just be a good person, I'll live the wisdom of God 7 days a week. I'll pray not just to get things from God, but because I want to be with Him. If I'll put my whole heart into what I do for Him, I'll get this mercy thing. I can be strong and yet loving, all wrapped up into one. And I'll stand for right, the right way. God said, I'm looking to to bless people like that. I will exalt them. I will lift them up. Why? He needs examples. David, what an example David was. God favored him. Mary, what an example she was. Samuel, what an example. Jesus, what an example. God gave them favor so they could be an example to others. I'm almost finished. But don't let that make you think we're going home yet. Because I could be almost finished multiple times. Let me say this. Then, and this is really point number four of my sermon, there's some who at one time had God's favor, but they've lost it. See, God's favor is not something you get once, and then it's yours forever. I think it's something that you need to maintain. You changed your oil once. You'll need to change it again. You may even get lifetime oil changes, but you're going to have to get the oil taken out to get the new oil put in. Just having the warranty does not mean the process is sound. You got to change the oil. And God's favor is the same way. You could do the things to gain God's favor, then you must keep it up. You must maintain it. Listen to Psalm 77 and look this way and don't talk, young people. Psalm 77:7 says, "Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more?" You know what? Somebody had the favor of God in that scripture, but they get it no more. They ruined it. I really do believe this. I may or may not know who you are, probably not, but I'll guarantee you there are people under the sound of my voice right now, or people that will listen to this on the internet. There are people out there. You at one time had God's favor. You don't anymore. You don't. That's sad. Do you care? You say, but let me tell you all the reasons why I don't. I'm not interested in that. Did you have it and lose it? If you did, I'd try to figure that out. Here it is said, they had the favor, but they have it no more. Do you know people that, I'll promise you, somebody that's had God's favor and lost it, they're miserable. They're miserable. They know something's missing. They know it. They run from God, run from the preacher. Has God's favor been removed from your life? Are you miserable? And then there's some, maybe never had it in the first place. There are people you choose a life of struggle beyond what is necessary because you will not seek the favor of God in your life. You're just not going to do it. And you're miserable with the kind of life that you have chosen to live. You know, the Bible even says in Isaiah 27, verse 11, God won't give his favor to the wicked. He's not going to do that. But I think somebody can have it and lose it. Some never had it. He's not going to give it to the wicked. Now, you say, well, why would I want this favor? Well, it ought to be obvious, but I'll tell you this. According to Psalm 30, verse 7, the favor of God brings extra strength into your life. Listen to this verse. Psalm 30, verse 7 says, "Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong." Have you ever watched someone that really goes through the tough times and they seem to stand and you say, wow, how do they take that? They evidently probably had God's favor. And the Bible says God's favor, one of the benefits of God's favor is extra strength. You say, if I went through what they're going through, I would have crumbled. You won't crumble if you've got that favor, because favor increases strength. Hey, favor increases victory in life. Listen to this verse, Psalm 41:11. "By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me." God said, first of all, if you get my favor, you get my strength. Double bonus. Then he said, if you get my favor, you get victory. The enemy won't win. You know, some of you, aren't you tired of losing? Don't you get tired of losing? Merit the favor, get the strength, win the victory. Hey, you say, what do I get out of this? What's the benefit? Well, did you know that there's benefit in being favored of God? Because you get then the power of God, the Spirit of God. 2 Samuel 15:25, and I won't go into it, There's a lot of teaching in it, but it's about the Ark of the Covenant, which pictured the presence of God, the power of God in the Old Testament. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 15, verse 25, it says, I shall find favor in the eyes of the Lord. And what was it about? It was about getting that power of God active, or that Ark of the Covenant. You get the favor of God on your life, you'll get the power of God on your life. And for some of you, you'll begin to see some supernatural things occur. Why? That's what favor produces. The favor of God produces the power of God. The favor of God produces the victory of God. The favor of God produces the strength of God. And then I'm done. But my last point, I want you to listen to this. I noticed this. When I was searching, and so you know, this was a personal Bible study. I noticed that Mary was highly favored. I said, I'd like to be highly favored. So I started looking, and I thought, what do you got to do? Well, what's the process? What do I not want to do? What do I want to do? And then I stumbled onto this. I stumbled onto the fact that one of the benefits of the favor of God, it'll also buy you favor with man. Favor with man. Listen to this. Daniel. The Bible says of Daniel in Daniel 1:9, now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender loving care with the prince of the eunuchs. You know what happened? Daniel not only had favor with God, but favor with God brought favor with man. You say, there are people I can't get along with. Why don't you get God's favor in your life? You get around God, get his favor. He'll teach you how to get along with people that are hard to get along with. Daniel was a captive. Remember, this is a guy, lion's den. You know, everybody liked the guy getting thrown in the lion's den except for a few. He did a pretty good job. Hey, listen to what it says about Jesus. Remember, Jesus is one that had the favor of God. Luke 2:52 says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. God's favor helps you with people. Now, I'll tell you what. The biggest miseries we have on this globe are with people. You say, I want my marriage straightened out. Get the favor of God. You say, it's terrible down at work. Get the favor of God. I'm not getting along with some of my grown children. Work at getting the favor of God. You say, I'm mad at so-and-so. Get the favor of God, because the favor of God helps you with the favor of people. Listen to this about the children of Israel. It says, and I will give this people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. What is that? Favor with people because of the favor of God. Even the lost can handle. Listen to the story of Joseph. Joseph, Genesis 39:21, it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Joseph had the favor of God, and because he did, he found favor with a human being, really, that was his enemy. It was the keeper of the prison. When I read about Mary, I've read the story, and, you know, it's the Christmas story, if you will. I looked and I thought, highly favored. Hey, Mary's a human being, just like me and you. And God said, I'm no respecter of persons. What God would do for one, he could do for another. How do I figure out what to do? I go to God's book. I go to the instruction book that tells me exactly what you do to merit that favor. I would like it if when I'm going to prayer, if God would look and say, here he comes. Maybe he would say, I like he's coming and I like being with him. You know, when my wife, who is Sherry, when she came, I was sweet on her. Wouldn't it be something if when God seen you come and he said, here she comes. Here he comes. It's like being around them. They're my kind of people. Highly favored.